Hey guys, and welcome to Fatherhood. You are listening to the Dad's Group podcast, a place where you and I get to connect with incredible leaders, shape the future of fatherhood together, and dig deeper into what is happening inside the minds and hearts of new and expecting fathers. In this episode, we'll be interviewing one of our Dad's Group legends, Nick. Nick had so much to share with us that we had to organize a part B to this interview, as we just wanted to get as much out of him as we could. I was so pumped by this interview, so encouraged, and I really hope you guys will be too. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we all meet on today. I would like to pay respects to elders past, present and emerging, and any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we have listening to this episode today. Cheers, guys.
Without further ado, we've got Nick Benastra here. Mate, welcome to Digital Dads Group.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Nick, mate, it's such a pleasure to have you on. You know, you've been a part of Dad's Group for a little while now, which we'll obviously get to, but I reckon everyone wants to really know. Tell us a bit about yourself, mate. Tell us about yourself and your family.
No worries. Well, I actually have I guess my story is quite unique and interesting, and I think I do like to share it when I get amongst other dads and stuff like that, because it does kind of open up, you know, possibilities of, you know, how different family dynamics look and work and all the rest of it. So actually, I'll start by, you know, how Danny and I first met, because I think that sort of does sort of set the pace for the rest of the conversation. But Danny and I are, you know, a Tinder couple, believe it or not. We actually met on Tinder. And we were together for approximately 3 months before we found out that we were pregnant with our first, who's Eloise, who's now 7 years of age. So just to give you an idea of, you know, the kind of journey that we've been on, you know, it's been a ride. So now, Danny and I have been together. We're pretty much, whenever anyone ever asks us how long we've been together, we kind of just go, well, how old's Eloise, and add 12 months, right? So so that's, I mean, it's handy in that sense, you know, it's almost a perfect 12 months from when we met. So, from when we conceived Eloise, I should say. So, that kind of paints the picture. We've actually got a 4-year-old as well, Thea. So, and they're a month apart in their age, obviously 3 years and a month. So that's a little bit about our family. Danielle is a midwife, and she works at the MARTA, and I am actually a carpenter joiner by trade, but I've spent the last couple of years in recruitment. So, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. And look, it's actually, in the last couple of years, I've met a few people that have developed a relationship on Tinder and relatively quickly had children as a result, you know, from that point. That's a really good starting point, because, mate, within 3 months of being with someone, and it doesn't matter whether you know you're in love with that person or not, you want to spend the rest of your life with them, that's okay as well. But that's a huge step within such a short period of time. How did it feel to find out that you were having, were you actively trying, or was this just one of those things that just happened?
No, it was one of those things that just happened, you know. you know, there was a definite element of surprise there for both of us. Neither of us were even thinking about having kids, you know. Danielle being around, you know, young mothers all the time, with her work, you know, it wasn't even something she was, you know, particularly interested in, you know, and as for myself, you know, I had kind of had, like most people do, you know, this picture perfect world of, you know, you'd have, you know, the house with the little white picket fence before you even thought about it, you know, and there'd probably be a dog there before there were children, you know. So it kind of threw everything up in the air a bit for both of us. But, you know, we kind of had a few long-winded conversations about, you know, what the future looked like if we were to go down this path. And we decided to make the commitment, you know, which was, it was a big call at that time.
I bet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I've known you now for nearly 4 years, and this is the first. I love this. This is the first time I'm hearing this stuff. This is awesome. And so what was the shock? What when so you she says pulls out the stick, or how did you find out that you were that she was pregnant?
Well, it's interesting because we weren't actually living together at that stage, but I was spending a fair bit of time at her unit that she had in Hawthorne. So I came home one day from work and she basically said to me, you know, I've got something I need to tell you. And that was the conversation, you know, and I was kind of like, whoa, holy cow, what's going on here? You know, didn't sign up for this. And it took me a while to process it, you know, like I she initially said that she'd obviously had been thinking about it, you know, that whole day whilst I wasn't there. And she'd kind of come to the conclusion that regardless of where my intention was with it, she would like to continue with it. Which was, you know, kind of put me in an interesting conundrum, because it wasn't like there was an opportunity. Well, for me, there wasn't an opportunity to just bail on that. You know, that was something that I thought, well, if I'm going to have a kid in this world, then I definitely want to be a part of that. You know, as I said, Denny and I were only together for 3 months, so you know, I wasn't sure whether that was the person for me at that time. You know, and whether that was going to be something that would work long term. But I thought, you know, if I'm committed to this and we go with it, then, you know, that's my commitment. It was interesting because it took me about 2 weeks to really get to that point. You know, Danny was actually booked in to go to Germany and did go. She had a she was going to Oktoberfest to help set up the tents and everything like that. So you know, so that kind of threw a real big spanner in the works for her trip, being that she was going to, you know, the beer drinking festival of the planet, and she wasn't able to drink. So, you know, it you know, that was pretty full on. And it was actually while she was over there that one day I was down in Melbourne with both my brothers on holiday. And I actually called her up and I said, look, I know I've kind of been flaky about letting you know what's going on or where I'm at and where my head's at and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd spoken to a good friend of mine and I sort of said to her, you know, I want you to know that, you know, I'm in 100%. So just so that you have that, because I could tell she was concerned about what the future looked like, being that I hadn't really made 100% commitment about which way I was going with it. But it, you know, in my heart of hearts, I knew that I wouldn't be able to have a child and not be a part of that child's life, irrespective of what my relationship was with that child's mother. So it was quite an interesting start of a relationship, you know, Danny and I getting to know each other through that whole pregnancy, you know, from you know, the first scans right through to, you know, baby being born, you know. Pretty full on, yeah.
Oh, there is so much. This is almost like we need a part A and part B for this conversation, man. Oh, there is so much in this. Like, and I've met Danny, the pleasure of meeting Danny and your two beautiful girls, an incredibly beautiful family. Danny's just the absolute, a beautiful woman. And so, you know, I'm stoked that you have been able to stay with her and I've been able to And then Thea coming along as well. Both your daughters are just amazing. And I think what I just find it fascinating is to the you know, obviously there was a bit of processing for a little bit of time. This is almost like Tom's story of how he and Kate became pregnant on steroids. You know, this is like, because they were, you know, I guess I suppose a somewhat a little bit more common relationship, or what's socially accepted, I should say, not expected, accepted, that were married, but they were certainly not trying. So the story's quite similar, but they were together to each other for a long time is what I'm getting at, you know, irrespective of the marriage. And so it's just amazing to hear this. And so, so you've processed it. You've said, okay, we're going to go with this. We're going to commit, and you know, let's go. So when it got closer and closer to Eloise being born, what were your feelings like at that point?
I think And it's interesting. I think that, to be honest, once that decision had been made, I guess that we were going ahead with it, it was almost like, it wasn't like we'd known each other for a long time, but it was almost like this is just what's happening, you know, like any new couple or any couple that is expecting. There's all these unknowns and all these things that you know, anyone would be facing at any point, no matter how long they'd been together or not been together. So the challenges were essentially the same as they would be for any new couple, or you know, any new couple that was expecting, any couple, I should say, rather. That was expecting to have a baby on the way. So I think from that point of view, our journey through that process probably wasn't so dissimilar to a lot of people's, with regards to, you know, parenting styles and things that we had ideas of what we were going to do, and, you know, were we going to find out the sex or not, and all these kinds of things that came into play. And I think it wasn't until after, you know, after Eloise was born that I kind of really did realize that, you know, you very much do follow the path of what your parents did, or, you know, take those things as like, this is what is what it should be, or what, you know, you use those values that you've sort of grown up with. And so that's when we really sort of saw the differences, you know, and I think the importance, I guess, in having told my story a few times to a few different dads, I think the importance of the story that I've come to realize is that it doesn't matter how long you've been with someone or how well you know them prior to having a child. It's when you actually have a child and then there's those parental family values that come out that you actually realize that there are some differences, and there's not just thing as the perfect pigeon pair, because it doesn't matter, you know, how ideal you might be for each other. There are definitely things, you know, from your childhood that you've grown up with that have become your values by default. Yep. That can cause, you know, hardship, I guess, in a relationship.
That's true, man. Katie and I have crossovers. I mean, we've got a lot of things that are very similar, you know, in terms of, you know, what we want our child, or what the values are, or how, you know, how we parent. But there are also a lot of crossovers as well, yeah. You know, which, yeah. Sometimes I look at William and he's looking at us both like, what's even going on here? Yeah. Come on, guys, get your stuff together. Like,
yeah. Make Think a story and run with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I reckon this is where we're going to roll. I think there will be a part B, because, you know, because there's quite a lot here that I actually was talking to a guy yesterday who's running a group, and he said that he's got a young fella in his group that's, that he and his partner, you know, there's a lot of stories out there where guys are very similar situation to you. So I think there's a lot in this. So I reckon we'll roll with it. So when Eloise arrived and you held her for the first time, or, you know, whatever, or had that time with her in the initial stages, did you fall for her immediately, or did you take a bit of, did it take a bit of time for you to get a connection to her?
No, I definitely was full for her immediately. I actually was lucky enough. We had a private midwife. I actually caught Eloise, you know, and it was just instant. Like, I had goosebumps, crying, you know, the whole lot, all the things that you wouldn't tell everybody, you know.
It's okay, mate. It's okay. We welcome crying in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a pretty magnificent moment, and life changing, you know. From that point onwards, I think there's been so many things along my journey that, you know, once you become a father, it really changes the way you look at things, you know, and challenges myself and my beliefs as well a lot of the time, which is fantastic. I think I couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to see every opportunity as an ability or a potential for growth, or for just changing what I thought my values were, you know. It's been a ride.
I could not agree with you more, mate. For those out there that are thinking about paying $10,000 for a personal development course, don't do that. Just, you know, have a child. They'll keep you in check right from day one, and make you question everything about yourself. So, but not that I'm encouraging you to just go and plunge into something so big, but you know what I'm saying. I think it's really a really key point there. And one of the other things that I've discovered, so we knew that we were going to be having, Kate and I, with our second, knew that we were going to have a girl. And Kate, Tom's incredible wife, said to Katie, half his heart is gone. But when she arrives, she'll steal half his heart, I promise you now. And and when Katie told me that, she's like, oh, no. Where's there going to be space for me? Because there's William as well. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. We'll just see how things go. As soon as Marnie arrived, she had me straight away. Like, yeah. Absolutely. It's not to say that I fell very quickly for William as well. Definitely. But Kate's point was there's something about dads and their daughters where, like, you just, there's just a different thing in a little bit of a way, you know? And I that was my experience. Anyway, you got two girls, so you don't have a lot to compare it to. But take it from someone that's had a boy and a girl. Yeah. So that's not about me, though. So, mate, and so you have had Thea as well. How do you go with the when Bubs are? Oh, hey, sorry, I'm going to backtrack a little. How old were you when all this happened?
So we were 26 when we found out. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, cool. And what were you doing work-wise at that point?
I was in construction still. I was actually installing cubby houses and pergolas and all sorts of random stuff, barley thatches and outhouses as well, that sort of stuff, so sheds.
Yeah, cool. And so... did you take some time, did you get some time off for during that time? Again, this is stuff that you kind of don't really realize until it's all happening, you know. So did you have a bit of time off to spend with
them? I did. Yeah, I did. Initially, I think I took 3 weeks, pretty much from a couple of days before Eloise came into the earth. So, yeah, so it was a good time.
Perfect. And... when you returned back to work, what was it like for you to be at work, during the initial stages? Often the transition back to work can be really challenging, like on a whole heap of levels, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever. What was your return to work? What was your transition, back to work like?
Yeah, well, we were pretty lucky in the sense that, Danny was able to take a full year off maternity leave. So we pretty much very much assumed our positions in that sense from a financial point of view that I was, the going to work and Danny was going to stay home and look after Eloise. But I actually did. There was an element of me struggling with that as well because Eloise very much was drawn to her mother in that sense. So, a lot of the time if she'd hurt herself or if she was upset or during the night, if she couldn't sleep, there wasn't a lot that I could do. So although I had a very strong bond with her, mum was the go-to, for quite a long time, for probably a good year and a half, I suppose, from the beginning. So it's quite interesting how my relationship with Thea was quite different than that as well. But that was kind of the roles that we kind of assumed at the beginning.
Yeah, right. And so going on that point around the a year and a half before she was like, hey, Dad, I want you to help me right now. What was it like during that year and a half where you've had that strong connection with her straight away, the moment she was born, goosebumps, all that, crying.
Yeah.
But so what was it like for you that she just, because again, we know that dads tend to struggle particularly in the first 6 months to realize what their role can be or what it is, And so especially if the baby just seems to give them donuts, whenever they try to do something.
Yeah.
So how did you still try to keep involved and engaged, or did you keep trying to stay involved and engaged throughout that year and a half despite her giving you donuts?
Yeah. I think Yes, I did. And what happened was, you know, there were certain times where I was able to feed her, you know, when we did the breast pump thing and all that sort of stuff. So I was able to stay sort of engaged in that sense. But I very much became the fun guy, you know, like when it was daytime and there was room for play and there was, you know, going and exploring and walking and all that kind of stuff. That kind of became my role. So, you know, from very early on, that was sort of how I gave Danny break as well, was, you know, you have a bit more of a sleep in and I'll take Eloise and we'll go do the stuff that we do, you know. But then when it was, like I said, when there was upset or when it was like sleep time and that sort of thing, you know, she didn't want to do it with me. She wanted to be with Mum. So, yeah, that's kind of how that played out.
Yeah, right. And so that's awesome, Matt. I mean, it sounds like you didn't let it overcome you. So you let it, you obviously it was there, but you made a decision to find ways to keep that connection going while also doing things that would support Danny in by, you know, taking her out for a little while. Or And that, for those dads out there that are listening to this, you know, in the early stages or expecting fathers, there's one really amazing tip for you. It's not diamonds. It's not, it's not just a massage, which I highly recommend. It's not flowers. It's time. If there's anything that your partner wants in the early stages of when they've had a baby, it is time to just have nothing attached to them for a little while. So there's a hot tip for you that Nick's just given, which is why we think you're amazing, mate. I reckon it's probably a good spot to wrap up part A, because there's a lot that we've still got to learn from you, mate, with part B. We really appreciate you coming on the call and sharing such amazing and being so detailed and such a great story and being so open with us, mate, and for your time, particularly through some challenges you're facing at the moment, mate. But thanks so much for coming on.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. And Nick, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, mate. That was great. If you would like to find out more about Dad's Group, join our digital Dad's Group session, which is where these podcast episodes are recorded, or connect with some of our amazing partners, please check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org, which we will also add into our podcast notes for you guys. Please remember to like, subscribe, and review, and please share with any dads and families that may benefit from hearing this podcast. Cheers, guys.